him, but one without any criminal consequences, just political ones.
Jim, once again, we want to thank you for taking some very complex legal issues and really condensing it into layman's terms so we can kind of understand what's going on now and what we may see play out in the weeks ahead. Jim Trusty, partner at IFRA Law here in D.C. Jim, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. Stay warm this weekend.
Thank you. 7 o'clock news is next. Then it's John Gizzi. We'll talk with Gordon Chang, Tony Schaefer, and Katie McFarland all in the next hour. Stay with us.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM, WMAL, a Cumulus station. News now.
WMAL News at 7. Good morning. I'm Heather Curtis. From one nightmare to another for some Texans, most now have power again. What they don't have? Clean drinking water. 7 million people are under boil water orders because low water pressure could have allowed bacteria to seep into the system.
President Biden says he will sign a disaster declaration for the state of Texas. He may also make a trip here next week. Meanwhile, the agency that runs the power grid in Texas now says its operations are back to normal. But on the ground, it is anything but. Thousands waited in cars for the very basics. In Fort Worth, it was food. The frozen water leaves behind utter devastation. Even hospitals are not immune. At least one hospital in Austin had to transfer patients after it lost power.
Fox's Casey Stegall, a New York congressman, among those saying New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has to go. Cuomo's accused of misleading people on COVID-related nursing home deaths. Cuomo's rejecting the accusations. Congressman Lee Zeldin tells Fox's Hannity.
The federal government was sending the USNS Comfort. The Javits Center was turning into a temporary hospital. They were building temporary hospitals in all sorts of other counties in the area. Governor Cuomo says he didn't have time to put out all of this information that the public was demanding, the legislature was demanding, because he was too busy saving lives, yet he had time to write a book.
The FBI and federal prosecutor's office are investigating the Cuomo administration. There aren't enough COVID-19 vaccines to go around, but Maryland Congressman Andy Harris says more people can get vaccinated if all the state's doses are used as first doses. The anesthesiologist tells WMAL's The Larry O'Connor Show.
The data from the Pfizer study pretty clearly showed that after about 12 days after the first dose, you have protection. And sure enough, today, this week in the New England Journal of Medicine, researchers from British Columbia reported the same thing.
The NIH's Dr. Anthony Fauci says while you can get a fair amount of protection after a single dose, it doesn't last long. The Maryland Department of Health tells Maryland Matters the state will continue to follow federal guidelines which call for two doses. Kids in Montgomery County Public Schools will start going back to in-person learning in phases in March, but that's not soon enough for Together Again MCPS. Ashley Daugherty says the parents group will be rallying outside the Board of Ed building this afternoon.
Less than 700 kids or right around there are actually going to be back on the 1st, and then many going back on the 15th, but some not until the end of April. You know, that's not okay. We can do a lot better than that.
The Montgomery County Education Association Teachers Union will have a rally of its own Tuesday, demanding the Board of Ed consider equitable solutions for the safe reopening of schools. The Maryland flag is at half staff today to honor Frederick Douglass on the anniversary of his death. Governor Larry Hogan designated today as the first Civil Rights Heroes Day in Maryland. WMAL Sports, Naomi Osaka beats Jennifer Brady in the Australian Open final for her fourth Grand Slam title. Traffic and weather next.
One by one.
Thank you for taking my call.
Every caller gets their say.
You know, there's so many issues.
And whether you agree,
think you're politically wrong,
or disagree,
I will have to agree with you.
You're invited to join the conversation. 105.9 FM WMAL.
When you're running a business, you don't have time to worry about slow internet or confusing cybersecurity. So get fast, reliable internet from Comcast Business on the network that can deliver gig speeds to the most businesses. You can add the advanced security of Comcast Business Security Edge to help eliminate threats. And enjoy the peace of mind that comes with knowing 24/7 support is just a phone call away. It's internet and advanced security made simple so you can bounce forward with Comcast Business. Help your business to bounce forward with this amazing offer. Get started with 100 megabits per second internet and Comcast Business Security Edge for just $79.99 a month for 24 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $200 prepaid card when you switch today. Call 1-800-501-6000 to learn more. Offer ends 2/28. Restrictions apply. New Comcast Business customers only. Enrollment and equal bill and auto pay required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment, installation, taxes, and fees extra. Subject to change. New Comcast Business 100 megabits per second internet and Comcast Business Security Edge customers only. Call for details.
WMAL traffic. Here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
So far, traffic still moving at speed on the Capitol Beltway. Disabled vehicle reported on the outer loop at Colesville Road, but looks like that is in the process of being cleared. On the outer loop ramp to go westbound on 66, watch out for the long-term road work there, and that affects the right lane. So far, that is not causing delays. In the district, do be aware of some fire department activity that has 28th Street closed in southeast between Naylor Road and Gainesville Street. Follow police direction there. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
While it's nice to finally have a dry weekend and some blue sky, it certainly still feels like winter out. Morning wind chills are in the teens, and with gusts around 25 miles per hour, it will feel like the 20s even at the peak of the afternoon. Actual high temperatures range from the low to mid 30s. We'll drop down into the teens tonight, slight improvement Sunday, with calmer winds and afternoon highs in the upper 30s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Hi, I'm Patrick Fingles, owner of New Look Home Design. Customers at New Look know that getting a new roof is easy. Could be how easy it is to set an appointment, or the 3D visualizer of their new roof. Or maybe it's the line-by-line pricing so you know exactly what you're paying for. But if it's none of those reasons, maybe it's the pricing. New Look brings new meaning to the words volume discount. We install one roof every hour, so that means buying power. And we pass those savings on to our customers. There's no better time than winter. Manufacturers need to move inventory, and they know that we're the ones to do it. Right now, we're getting roofing shingles for half of what they will be in spring, and that means huge savings for customers. And if that wasn't enough, qualify for no interest, no payment financing until 2022. Call 800-279-5300. That's 800-279-5300. NewLookHomeDesign.com. While we can't make everything easy, we can make roofing easy.
Virginia, William Hill, America's number one sports book, is now here. And we have a special 2021 offer to help you bet on all your favorite sports risk-free. Download the William Hill Sportsbook app, and when you sign up, you can get started with a risk-free bet of up to $2,021. Use promo code RadioRF. Terms and conditions apply. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call, text, or chat our confidential and toll-free helpline at 1-888-532-3500. Let's make it interesting with William Hill Sportsbook.
Must be present in Virginia.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
105.9 FM, WMAL. It is hour two of the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. John Gizzi joins us each week. He is the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. Morning, John.
Good morning.
The passing of Rush Limbaugh this week, so many people have spoken of his influence on America, on radio, and I wanted to get your take on his influence on politics.
It's inarguable that Rush Limbaugh was, if not a quarterback, a linebacker behind the conservative movement and its biggest successes in the last quarter century. By 1994, Rush had developed a daily audience on radio of 15.5 million Americans, in effect reviving the once thought to be moribund medium of radio. And he did so against competition from television and the growing internet. In the process, he helped rally conservatives to not only take action, but to get out and work for candidates they believed in, and he predicted Republicans would be successful in the takeover of the House and the Senate in 1994. You find Rush Limbaugh's fingerprints all over it and pushing the contract with America. Little wonder that Speaker Newt Gingrich invited him to talk to the Republican Conference of Members over the years and seek his advice on just what the grassroots was saying. Nearly a decade later, he was involved in the embryonic stages of the Tea Party movement, again, giving the voice to the mad-as-hell Americans who are fed up with spending and high taxes, and took it out by voting for Republicans to again return to take over Congress. And, of course, most recently, his good friend and Palm Beach neighbor, Donald Trump, was elected president. Rush Limbaugh always believed he would be elected and said so on the air in 2016. And true to form of being a true Trumpite, Rush continued to advance the theories that Trump's reelection was stolen. In the process, he struck a bond with many Americans who, love him or loathe him in the end, have to agree he was a person of consequence. Rush Limbaugh, a player in the 20th and 21st century of conservative politics.
Want to turn to an article that you wrote at Newsmax this week, and the headline on the article reads, Trump team out in front of McConnell's in 22 Senate primaries. Now, we saw the divide widen last weekend after the conclusion of the Trump impeachment trial. Tell us about what you're seeing on the ground.
Well, on the ground, people are reacting to the drawing of lines between the Senate Republican leader and the 45th president. In his closing speech before the vote on impeachment in the Senate Saturday, Mitch McConnell essentially repudiated Donald Trump and said that the Republican Party and the Senate should move on after this. But he did vote not guilty when it came to the articles of impeachment. Donald Trump did not take that as a warm embrace. And in a subsequent statement he put out, he denounced the Kentucky senator, and I quote, as an unsmiling political hack. Needless to say, these two are not going to be friends, and they've already said they're going to back other candidates for the U.S. Senate and in contested primaries. Mitch McConnell wants to back candidates who are electable. Donald Trump said he wants to back candidates who support his Make America Great Again agenda. And already we're seeing the Trump versus McConnell feud played out by proxy in several contested primaries. In the last 3 days, two candidates announced for the U.S. Senate for open seats in Ohio and Alabama. Both are strong Trump conservatives and have a friendly relationship with the former president. Both are well connected in the business community, and both are women. In Ohio, former state party chairman Jane Timken declared for the Senate to fight for, and I quote, the Trump agenda and against the socialist democratic agenda. In Alabama, Lynn Blanchard, businesswoman, philanthropist, and former ambassador to Slovenia, declared for the Senate as a Christian conservative and a Make America Great Again Republican. She probably will be facing the former top aide, Senator Richard Shelby, Ms. Kelly Boyd Britt, and this is clearly a case of Trump Republicans versus establishment Republicans, two races that are going to determine who flexes the muscle in the Republican Party.
Well, speaking of flexing muscle, looking at the Biden administration, we see that he now is pushing back on forgiving $50,000 in student loan debt, and now it looks like he may be backing off the $15 an hour minimum wage, and the progressives, as of late Friday afternoon, were not happy. So he's getting it from the left, and he's getting it from the right. What do you make of where he stands as of almost a month into his presidency?
The same place where dead skunks and yellow stripes are, in the middle. He is taking it from both sides at this point, and particularly the invective that's coming from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the congresswoman from New York and the face of the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, and it's not a very happy scenario. The forgiveness of student debt was considered a key gem in the progressives' jewel box. The fact that President Biden backs away from it is almost a repudiation of them. or so they say. There's other things that he's going to have to deal with in the weeks and months ahead. And in his executive orders, as well as in the legislation that he backs, he's got to be very careful. But it should be pointed out, looking at the new class of Democrats that came into the House, more of them are on the progressive side than on the centrist wing, which gave us Joe Biden. He's going to have to be very careful on this, and he can't afford to lose their backing in Congress.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com and Newsmax TV. John, thank you as always. We're at 7:15 on the Saturday morning update. We'll talk to Gordon Chang next, but first, Michelle Murray's in the WNIL Traffic Center.
On the outer loop of the Beltway at New Hampshire Avenue, some debris reported to be in the left lane, so stay to your right and use extra caution there. Also on the outer loop of the Beltway at the off-ramp to go on to westbound 66, there is road work that has the right lane of that ramp blocked, so do watch out for that to narrow and just allow a little extra travel time. In the district, you will still find a closure of 28th Street and Southeast, right near Hillcrest Drive, between Naylor Road and Gainesville Street due to fire department activity. Just follow police direction around that. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
While it's nice to finally have a dry weekend and some blue sky, it certainly still feels like winter out. Morning wind chills are in the teens, and with gusts around 25 miles per hour, it will feel like the 20s even at the peak of the afternoon. Actual high temperatures range from the low to mid-30s. We'll drop down into the teens tonight, slight improvement Sunday, with calmer winds and afternoon highs in the upper 30s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
27 degrees at 7:16 on the Saturday morning update on WMAL. It's the Saturday morning update on WMAL. It's great to be joined by Gordon Chang. And he is the author, of course, of The Great U.S.-China Tech War, The Coming Collapse of China. And Gordon, it's great to have you on with us this morning.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Rick.
I follow your Twitter account at Gordon G. Chang. And one of the big questions, I think, that was surrounding Joe Biden during the presidential campaign was how he would handle relations with China. What stands out to you in what we know of the administration's policies that we've seen in the last month?
President Biden has come out with some pretty harsh rhetoric on China, for instance, talking about extreme competition. But what really stands out are his executive orders. And those executive orders have taken down some important barriers that President Trump erected to China's bad actions. So, for instance, in May of last year, President Trump banned China from selling equipment for our grid. But on January 20, just hours after taking the oath of office, Biden repealed that ban, which means that China can now sell sabotaged equipment. And this is not just a theoretical concern. I think that President Biden's repeal of the ban was indefensible, but it also mirrors a number of other things that Biden has done. And these are big giveaways to China, and as far as we can tell, we've gotten nothing in return from Beijing.
In the Trump administration, we saw the withdrawal from the World Health Organization. Where do you see the World Health Organization and the Biden administration going together?
Well, President Biden has rejoined the World Health Organization, and that was a mistake because the WHO is in China's pocket. And what it's done is it helped spread coronavirus beyond China's borders. You know, Chinese leaders and senior doctors at the WHO knew that the COVID-19 was highly contagious. And yet it was the WHO that told the world that it was not. And WHO did that on a January 9th statement, January 9th, 2020, and also a January 14th, 2020 tweet. So WHO bears great responsibility for deaths around the world, now about 2.4 million. And so we should not be rejoining that organization until there are significant reforms. But unfortunately, President Biden has just signed on without getting any changes.
And a tweet that I saw of yours, actually it was yesterday. Everyone thinks the spread of COVID-19 beyond China's borders was a, quote, mistake. But that view is mistaken. The spread of the disease to the rest of the world was deliberate, this mass murder is the crime of the century. And do you think that will ever be investigated to the extent that it can be proven?
I think that it will eventually, because the facts are clear. Chinese leaders admitted that the coronavirus was human-to-human transmissible on January 20, 2020, but they knew for at least 5 weeks and maybe as much as 5 months that this was highly contagious. And at the same time, Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, pressured countries to accept arrivals from China while he was locking down Wuhan, the epicenter, and surrounding areas, which means that he felt that locking down those areas was going to be effective in stopping the disease, which means that he knew that he was spreading the disease by forcing other countries to take Chinese arrivals. So you put those two things together, and it's obvious. It's clear. There is only one explanation that fits the facts, and that Chinese leaders deliberately wanted to spread this disease beyond their borders. And that's why this is not a mistake of spreading the disease. This was mass murder.
Gordon, we've heard a lot about Hunter Biden's relationship with Chinese corporations that have ties to the Chinese Communist Party. But I've seen articles about other members of the Biden administration with relationships with Chinese companies. How much of a concern is that to you?
Well, it is a concern. If we go back, let's say, 10 years, these consulting ties between Communist China and American officials or just senior figures in Washington were common, and they've remained common. The concern here is that China exploits every point of contact with the United States. And so we don't know what China, for instance, has on these officials, whether it's corrupt business dealings or maybe even very troubling personal behavior, because China always records that. So when we put all that together, obviously this is going to be a cause of concern. But this is widespread throughout Washington, both political parties, both liberals and conservatives. So this is universal, and we've got to end this. And the only way to end it is to end contacts with China, which sounds extreme. But unfortunately, until we get a handle on this, we're being overwhelmed. The FBI is being overwhelmed, the CIA, local law enforcement, and until we are able to make sure that we can protect ourselves, we've got to end these contacts with Beijing.
We know the political aspects, and we've been talking about those, but American companies love to do business with China. They look at the broad expansion of their product base, whether it's the NBA or whether it's an automobile. Talk a little bit about the influence of business when it comes to relationships with China.
Well, business has been propagating China's narratives in Washington through their lobbying staffs. And they do that to curry favor with Beijing because they believe that at the end of the day, the Chinese will reciprocate. Whether they do or not, though, we know that China doesn't have to spend any money for that because it has essentially access to the lobbying teams of large companies, Hollywood, all the rest of it. And that's a danger to us because China's objectives are malign.
In the CNN town hall with Joe Biden this week, Anderson Cooper raised the question of human rights violations in China. The president responded. What did you make of his response?
In response to Anderson Cooper, President Biden said that China's human rights abuses flowed from different cultural norms. And clearly this is inappropriate. We're talking not about human rights abuses. We're talking about crimes against humanity, genocide, forced labor, which looks like institutionalized slavery. Clearly there's been institutionalized rape, organ harvesting, the worst abuses that we have seen in decades, perhaps worse than what the Third Reich did prior to the mass exterminations of 1941. What Biden did by chalking them up to culture is to say that Chinese culture is brutal, that Chinese culture is racist, because the victims of those crimes against humanity are minorities. And here we have a president who lectures the American people on white supremacy, and he gave an answer that was dangerously close to white supremacist. You should never have an American president explain away gross activities on the part of China. And so I believe that President Biden owes an apology not only to Uyghurs and Kazakhs and Tibetans, not only to the Chinese people, but he also owes an apology to the American people for justifying the unjustifiable.
Gordon Chang, we'll be following you on Twitter at Gordon G. Chang. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rick.
7:24, it is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer is coming up and KT McFarland.
Hi, this is Greg Smith of the Wise Investor Group. For over 20 years, we've taken important steps to ensure we remain ready to meet the investment and wealth management needs of our clients. We expect the financial markets to remain uncertain until more is known about the virus and its full impact on the global economy. We'll be keeping you informed in the weeks ahead as the situation continues to unfold. You'll find updates, including commentary from our market experts at thewiseinvestorgroup.com.
Call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed wise investor.
Arena seats may have been exchanged for love seats. Thousands of chanting voices replaced with inside voices. Furry mascots are now just cats and dogs. And doing the wave only happens when you see your neighbor. But the only thing that hasn't changed is us watching the game together. It's on, baby! Watch together, cheer together, celebrate together, even if you're not actually together. With Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi, you can stream the game from anywhere in your home and watch with anyone. Cox, bringing us closer.
At GiveMeTheVIN.com, America's best car buyer, business is booming. And our Virginia office needs buyers. If you'd like to join one of the fastest growing auto groups in the country, go to GiveMeTheVIN.com and click jobs to submit your application. And if you'd like to sell your car, go to GiveMeTheVIN.com, put in your license plate number or VIN, and get the market's top dollar offer and a no-touch, trouble-free transaction from America's best car buyers.
Sell us your car! GiveMeTheVIN.com. So easy you can do it in your underwear.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
It's not quite time for the madness that is college basketball in March, but that doesn't mean the fun has to wait. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is giving all new players the chance to bet $1 on any team to hit a three-pointer in any basketball game this week. And if your team makes it rain, you cash $100. That's right. All it takes is for one three-pointer being hit by your chosen team to turn $1 into $100. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DCWINS to get your shot to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on any team to hit a three-pointer in any basketball game this week. That's code DCWINS for new customers only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Virginia only, new customers only, restrictions apply. Winnings paid out in four $25 free bets. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call the Virginia Problem Gambling Helpline at 888-532-3500.
Don't miss the Trading Group Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WMAL. Learn how you can earn a full-time income as a short-term trader. That's the Trading Group Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. The question line is 888-646-8787.
We've been waiting, waiting for COVID-19 vaccines to be developed. Now, waiting for them to get to us. But you can do more than wait. You have powerful ways to help slow the spread right now and protect your family and loved ones, too. Here's how. Watch your distance. Stay at least 6 feet away from folks you don't live with. It's risky to be indoors with them, too. And, of course, avoid crowds. Also, wear a mask. CDC reports masks protect the people who wear them and folks around them. And wash your hands using soap and water for 20 seconds. And do it frequently. Vaccines won't make COVID go away overnight, but they give us a real chance to finally overcome it. As long as we keep watching our distance, wearing our masks, and washing our hands.
Learn more about vaccines at cdc.gov/coronavirus. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
7:30 news is coming up. Then we're back with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. We're going to be talking about Texas. What is some of the messaging we're seeing in the vulnerabilities in the grids in Texas? What does that mean for national security? We'll talk about Iraq as well and Biden policy there. KT McFarland's coming up. And, of course, President Biden was at the G7 and sort of reset the course for American foreign policy. We'll get KT's take on that. And thoughts on Rush Limbaugh. Stay with us on WMAL.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM, WMAL, a Cumulus station. News now.
WMAL News at 7:30. Good morning, I'm Heather Curtis. About 165,000 Texas homes still don't have water after this week's winter storms. Others are under boil water orders. Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
We will take every step necessary as fast as possible to get their water back on, but also ensure that when they turn it on, it will be safe to use.
More than 1 million gallons of water were trucked yesterday to Austin, Texas. President Joe Biden says he'll sign a disaster declaration for the state. Virginia and Maryland, among the places not getting COVID-19 vaccines this week because of bad weather at distribution points in the Midwest. Virginia's vaccine coordinator, Dr. Danny Avula.
About 106,000 doses of our Moderna didn't get delivered this week. That's first and second doses. And so those will get pushed into next week.
Arlington County says it has enough to give shots to people with appointments scheduled through this weekend. But the county stopped scheduling new appointments for next week for now. In Maryland, Prince George's County also says appointments for second doses will be kept. First dose appointments will be rescheduled for the week of February 28th. The fight over a transgender bathroom ban in Virginia may go to the Supreme Court. The Gloucester County School Board filed a petition before the High Court yesterday. That comes after a lower court ruled the policy that students use bathrooms that correspond with their biological sex is unconstitutional. WMAL Sports, Naomi Osaka beats Jennifer Brady in the Australian Open. Up next, traffic and weather.
Based on the recent stock market slide, do you feel your money and investments are safe? Would a repeat of the market losses you experienced earlier in the year or in 2002 and 2008 derail your family's retirement plans? It's time to make a U-turn on your retirement strategy. This Sunday at 1 p.m., tune in to the U-Turn Equity Financial Hour with Tucker and Blake. They'll cover these financial topics and, more importantly, share little-known strategies to keep your money safe and discuss tax-free income. Join the conversation this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Say thank you to your home for being there for you. Start with a free estimate from your neighborhood CertaPro Painters. We really understand how you feel about your home. That's why you can count on us to take care of every detail. Listening, prepping, painting. It's always worry-free with our expert painting team. Whatever project you have in mind, you can count on CertaPro Painters to do the job beautifully. This is the kind of certainty you and your home deserve. So when it comes to refreshing the home you love, trust it to CertaPro Painters. We'll paint it with the care and attention to detail that only a local business can offer. Schedule your free estimate now at CertaPro.com. We're here to help you cross that painting project off the list. Let's get the project started today. Go to CertaPro.com. That's Certa with a C. Each CertaPro Painters business is independently owned and operated.
WMAL traffic, here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
In the district, there is some overhead sign work taking place on the freeway near the 3rd Street Tunnel. This is affecting the freeway, could be affecting it in both directions in the vicinity of the 3rd Street Tunnel. So watch for possible lane closures in both directions, and this could also affect the on-ramps to go on to the 3rd Street Tunnel. So just a heads up if you're traveling there. Also in the district, keep in mind that a portion of 28th Street is still closed due to fire department activity between Naylor Road and Gainesville Street in Southeast. Follow police direction there. Now from GarageJoyPair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
It is bitterly cold out there today. Morning wind chills are in the teens with wind gusts up to 25 miles per hour. High temperatures this afternoon will be just around or above freezing, feeling like the 20s. At least we'll see much needed blue sky, mostly clear tonight as we fall back to the teens. Upper 30s tomorrow with sun for most of the day. Clouds increase tomorrow night ahead of snow and rain chances Monday.
Virginia,
William Hill, America's number one sports book, is now here. And we have a special 2021 offer to help you bet on all your favorite sports risk-free. Download the William Hill Sportsbook app, and when you sign up, you can get started with a risk-free bet of up to $2,021. Use promo code RadioRF.
Terms and conditions apply. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call, text, or chat our confidential and toll-free helpline at 1-888-532-3500.
Let's make it interesting with William Hill Sportsbook.
Must be present in Virginia.
What's keeping you up at night? For many baby boomers, it's questions about retirement. Hi, I'm Abe Abish, founder of Abish Financial Services. And along with my team, I want to help you rest easier by providing useful knowledge to address the concerns you have now while offering ideas on ways you can work to achieve your financial goals in the years ahead. Join me here on WMAL, Saturday afternoon at 2 for Retirement Key Radio. And connect anytime at retirementkeyradio.com.
Hi, I'm Patrick Fingles, owner of New Look Home Design. Customers at New Look know that getting a new roof is easy. Could be how easy it is to set an appointment, or the 3D visualizer of their new roof. Or maybe it's the line-by-line pricing, so you know exactly what you're paying for. But if it's none of those reasons, maybe it's the pricing. New Look brings new meaning to the words volume discount. We install one roof every hour, so that means buying power. And we pass those savings on to our customers. There's no better time than winter. Manufacturers need to move inventory, and they know that we're the ones to do it. Right now, we're getting roofing shingles for half of what they will be in spring, and that means huge savings for customers. And if that wasn't enough, qualify for no interest, no payment financing until 2022. Call 800-279-5300. That's 800-279-5300. NewLookHomeDesign.com. While we can't make everything easy, we can make roofing easy.
It is the Saturday Morning Update. We're at 7:36. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. He is the president of the London Center for Policy Research, the author of Operation Dark Heart. Tony, it's always good to have you.
Hey, Rick, always a pleasure to join you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Now, when we look at Texas this week, at the height of the storm, 4 million Texans were without power.
Yeah.
We've seen 165,000 still without power as of Friday. Millions are still without running water. And I believe that Texas is one of the states that's really taken the lead on quote-unquote renewables. What does this tell us about grids?
Well, the one of the things about any power grid is you plan for catastrophe. You have to have a certain amount of percentage that you want to have either on hand that is fairly easy to turn on to generate at least 10% more power, or have agreements with other outside your capability to produce, agreements with other organizations, other states, other power entities that can make up for the difference. In this case, the grid was, depending on which source you look at, between 25 to 33% renewable. And that consists primarily of wind and solar. So this is really just common sense. If you have a storm that takes away the sun and you can't get solar to work, and you have big old windmills, which are supposed to generate, you know, upwards of 25% of your power grid, and it fails, you know, in a way that you cannot bring it back, and then it exceeds your power grid safe zone, your backup 10%, you have a problem. And in this case, because that problem extended into other natural resources, like gas, like natural gas, it was a catastrophe. So I think the lesson here is that renewable resources are good, but they're not the answer. They're not ready for prime time. And I think Texas is a great place to look at. Alaska is a place which goes through extreme weather all the time. I always tell people, if you want to see a state that's built to be resilient, look at Alaska. And I'm pretty sure that they don't rely a lot on windmills power, just saying. So I think this is something that everybody needs to pay attention to. I've got a degree in environmental studies. I'm not against the idea, but I'm saying that the panacea that everybody on the left is trying to say that renewable power sources are the answer, they are not the answer.
All right, we have a death toll of 58 so far in Texas.
Yeah.
We've seen the suffering that people are going through. But what does it mean for the national security standpoint?
Well, the state right now is compromised. I mean, this is one of those issues. We have a number of installations in San Antonio and Galveston. I know we have things in Dallas. So obviously those critical, NASA, you know, Houston. So all those things which are critical are essentially unavailable. One of the notable things about other disasters we've seen is even if you have the ability of a facility to continue, if you're going to be home worrying about and working to save your own family. So this is something that would gravitate every individual who's at a military installation to simply being trying to focus on their own security and their own family. So this is something, again, if you have this happen at the nationwide level, you would have a completely compromised national security backbone. It is something we need to be very much aware of.
I want to turn to Iraq. We've seen President Biden's interest in getting back into the Iran nuclear deal. I want to read a headline and a paragraph from the New York Times this week. A rocket attack on the airport in the new northern Iraqi city of Erbil on Monday killed a civilian contractor with the American-led military coalition and wounded six others, including a U.S. service member. Now, in the subhead to the story, some saw the barrage of rockets aimed at an airport in the northern city as a test of the new administration in Washington. What does this tell you, that they may have launched a rocket attack while Biden is trying to get back into the nuclear deal?
Well, it's a test. I think a number of terrorist organizations, and make no mistake, Iran is still the largest state funder of terrorism on the planet. They have not changed. This is going to be their attempting to see what they can get away with, same time they try to get some sort of a deal regarding going back into the joint agreed upon framework that was the basis for the Iran nuclear deal under the Obama administration. And I expect more. I've got on the record, I'm going on the record here. I think you're going to see a resurgence of a number of terrorist organizations, both state-sponsored and non-state-sponsored, as we move into this year. And unfortunately, I think we're going to see the Pentagon, which has been given a great deal of latitude and freedom to go do what it had to do, what it felt it had to do. And, Rick, I think the people within the sound of my voice, our voice on this, will know what I'm saying. It's like there's a lot of things the Trump administration did on counterterrorism that have never been reported. It should not be reported because they were successful. I just don't know if Secretary Austin will have the same latitude or the same attitude to go out and continue to defeat the global terrorism.
And obviously the story of the Capitol riots will continue to be in the headlines for weeks and months ahead, especially with a congressional investigation on the way, a commission. And what are you hearing on the latest in terms of who may have been behind it and what's involved?
Well, first off, an editorial comment. The biggest promoters I've been seeing of the QAnon movement has been CNN. And the left, there's this complete commitment by some to believe there's some event that they believe is going to occur on the 4th of March. I've seen it generated by primarily the left, and the sources I trust, and this was reflected in an article recently in Fox talking about the Pentagon's point of view on this. John Kirby, the spokesman, and I know John, even said that the Pentagon's not aware of any specific threats. And I think that's generally what I'm hearing, is that there's really, like, you know, no, they're there so far. Now, not to say there's not threats out there, but there's nothing that's like a planned or credible threat. So I continue to believe that the National Guard troops being stationed in Washington are nothing more than window dressing and completely unnecessary to continue to keep the U.S. Capitol safe.
Well, I've heard stories reported that there have been no credible threats reported since just after the riots.
Right.
I don't know if you've heard other, you know, things in the pipelines that you've tuned into. But.
Well, I see a lot of information, and I spoke to some folks yesterday, and there are some in the federal bureaucracy who are believe that something may happen. I've seen assessments which say, well, there could be a possibility. Well, there's a possibility we could be hit by our asteroid, too, but I just don't think it's likely.
Well, on that note, what's the difference between a credible threat and just a general threat or sort of an ongoing threat? I mean, we always have a chance that a terrorist is going to, you know, walk down the street with a machete. That's sort of an ongoing threat. But what's a credible threat?
A credible threat has something to do with specific tactical details, which indicate that there's some reasonable expectation that a group or series of groups or individuals have an intent to do something. It's really linked to an intent indication. Assessments are people sitting down in a room in some skiff looking at the internet and saying, there's bad people out there. Maybe we ought to be concerned. So that's the difference.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, thanks for putting it in perspective for us. And you can check out Tony's podcast, Thought in Action, and you will find that at londoncenter.org. Tony, thank you as always.
Thank you. And we got Rick Grinnell coming up next week on Thought to Action, so be sure to check us out.
Hey, that's great.
Yeah.
Seen him a lot recently, and he is one straight shooter, take no prisoners, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking forward to hearing that one with you, Tony. Thank you.
Great. Thanks.
You bet. 7:46 Saturday morning update. Quick check of the traffic and weather, then KT McFarland joins us.
In the district, some road work affecting the 3rd Street Tunnel southbound between the U.S. Capitol and the split to the freeway. The on-ramp from C Street southwest to the eastbound freeway is closed. And there is also overhead sign work taking place on the freeway in both directions near the 3rd Street Tunnel. So watch out for possible lane closures in each direction. Now also in the district, 28th Street remains blocked between Naylor Road and Gainesville Street in Southeast due to fire department activity. So follow police direction around the scene. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
While it's nice to finally have a dry weekend and some blue sky, it certainly still feels like winter out. Morning wind chills are in the teens, and with gusts around 25 miles per hour, it will feel like the 20s even at the peak of the afternoon. Actual high temperatures range from the low to mid-30s. We'll drop down into the teens tonight, slight improvement Sunday, with calmer winds and afternoon highs in the upper 30s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
27 degrees, 747 on WMAL.
Set up your Amazon Echo to hear Rush weekdays noon to 3.
This is unbelievable.
For one-time setup, say, Alexa, enable WMAL skill. Then to listen, just say, Alexa, open WMAL.
Just entertaining as it can be.
Details at WMAL.com.
Based on a recent stock market slide, do you feel your money and investments are safe? Would a repeat of the market losses you experienced earlier in the year or in 2002 and 2008 derail your family's retirement plans? It's time to make a U-turn on your retirement strategy. This Sunday at 1 p.m., tune in to the U-Turn Equity Financial Hour with Tucker and Blake. They'll cover these financial topics and, more importantly, share little-known strategies to keep your money safe and discuss tax-free income. Join the conversation this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Virginia, William Hill, America's number one sports book, is now here. And we have a special 2021 offer to help you bet on all your favorite sports risk-free. Download the William Hill Sportsbook app, and when you sign up, you can get started with a risk-free bet of up to $2,021. Use promo code RADIORF. Terms and conditions apply. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call, text, or chat our confidential and toll-free helpline at 1-888-532-3500. Let's make it interesting with William Hill Sportsbook.
Must be present in Virginia.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your Sleep Number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing and free premium delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Dad, I got us Cash 5 with Easy Match to play.
Easy Match? What's that?
It's a Cash 5 upgrade.
I don't know why your generation has to have all these new bells and whistles.
The new Cash 5 has a daily growing jackpot starting at $100,000. And for just a buck more, you could win $500 instantly with Easy Match.
How about that?
Was that a whistle pop? Where's your bell?
The new Cash 5 with Easy Match from the Virginia Lottery. Odds of winning jackpot, 1 in 750,000. Odds of winning Easy Match top prize, 1 in 84,000.
It's the Saturday Morning Update. We're at 7:49. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by K.T. McFarland, former Deputy National Security Advisor in the Trump administration, the author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. K.T., good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
You know all about American foreign policy and the G7. President Biden addressing the G7 this week virtually. And in that, he is basically sending a message that in the United States, democracy is under assault. And the one thing about President Trump is you always got a sense of strength. Now, for some people, maybe he was too strong, but it was American strength. And, you know, that message and the whole notion of America's back and we're going to just toss all of the President Trump policies, it just strikes me that we're going back to leading from behind.
Yeah, but the problem with leading behind is that we were never actually leading. look, I think that for an American president, you don't go, or any American official, don't go abroad and trash talk the United States. It's one thing to fight amongst ourselves, but it's quite another thing if we say to the world, well, you know, democracy is under assault in America. Because what the world is looking at right now is between a Chinese model, an authoritarian model, and a democratic model. And, you know, the gist of things is that the democratic model is taking a lot of heat. The people are, the Chinese are saying, and other people are kind of scratching their heads and saying, look, democracy doesn't work in the 21st century. It doesn't work in an era of pandemics. It doesn't work in a crypto currency era. It doesn't work in an era where we are all in the cyberspace world. And for Joe Biden to go abroad, Joe Biden, who's just been elected president of the United States and sworn in, right? So he would say, democracy works. Look, I'm here. He's saying just the opposite. And I think it does a lot to undermine the confidence the world has in America. And it's an unforced error, you know? Why do that? Why say that the United States is a wreck? It reminds me of nothing more than President Obama's apology tour around the world saying, oh, America's terrible. America's made these terrible mistakes. And it's in line with the whole cancel culture thing. Oh, America's history is so horrible. We're so horrible. We're so horrible. And yet it not only erodes our own self-confidence at home, but the world is looking at us and says, gee, even if the President of the United States doesn't believe in democracy anymore, in America, what does that mean for the rest of us? So shame on him for doing that.
Well, the images were bad enough if people just saw the images around the world. But when you go into a Russia or a China or a North Korea, you know that those images were accompanied by headlines that would be propaganda, would be an even stronger attack on the United States in terms of how they portrayed what was happening at the Capitol. And I would think the President of the United States would want to go out and project strength in the country, that the country is united, you know, there are voices, the voices can be heard, yada, yada, yada. But to say and admit it's under assault, I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me because it shows weakness.
Well, yeah, not only it shows weakness, but it also shows, I think, I mean, and I find this not just with Joe Biden and Barack Obama, but the whole left, the whole far left, the progressive left, is that they really don't believe in democracy. They don't think it works. They think it only works if they're in charge. And they don't believe in the give and take. And so somehow they've got they think that by confessing our failings to the world, that somehow the world is going to respect us more. I just think that it's just a false notion. You're right. It expresses weakness. He ought to be out there saying, look, democracy works in America. See, I've just been elected president. Even though we've had a bitter congressional and national election fights, we fight, but here's a democracy, we elect a president, and then we all move on. But instead, he's sort of wallowing in it, and it projects weakness, a abroad, and it projects confusion on countries that want to follow us. They say, well, gee, if it doesn't even work in America, what chance do we have? And you're right, it is an absolute gift, Christmas present to all the authoritarian nations in the world who say, see, look, they're even admitting that they can't get it right. So big mistake on his part.
Let me ask you this question. We saw the media reports of how the leaders of the world would make fun of President Trump if he said something, and you know, they were making fun of them, and I'm sure many of those stories were exaggerated, but you know, the notion was that the world leaders weren't that fond of President Trump and sometimes questioned, you know, his abilities. What do you think these world leaders actually think about Joe Biden and say amongst themselves?
Well, they're thrilled. Why? Because, I mean, the reason the world rejected President Trump in a lot of ways is because he said the obvious. We're going to put America's interests first, guys. It's not going to be globalism, where the United States interests are considered last, where the common good and the international organizations, which are in a lockstep, follow what everybody else wants. We're going to protect our own people. I mean, the same way that the Chinese, if the Chinese said China last, if they didn't come up with a China first policy, my goodness. You know, that's all these countries. It's in fact, governing malpractice if you say I'm not putting my nation and my people's interests first. And so when they see Joe Biden say, oh, we're back to the good old days, the world thinks, yay, America's checkbook is coming back out again. I mean, for example, you know, President Trump, he bullied our NATO allies into paying their fair share of our mutual defense. What's happened in the last month since Joe Biden has been president? Well, the Germans have signed an energy deal with a pipeline energy deal with Russia. In other words, they're going to be now dependent on Russian energy for their survival. The European Union has signed a deal with China, a trade deal with China, saying, okay, well, we prefer China as our main trading partner to the United States and other places. So they're already starting to chip away at the strength President Trump showed when he said, we're back. And of course, they didn't want to have to pay their fair share. I mean, they'd enjoy the subsidies, the economic subsidies, the trade subsidies, the security subsidies that they've enjoyed since the end of World War II, which were never meant to be permanent. They were always meant to get these countries on their feet after the devastation of World War II, or in China's case, to bring it up to a more modern society, feeling that we would then have trading partners and peaceful allies. But it was never meant to always be a helping hand. It was meant to be a helping hand up, and then everybody plays on the same trading level. But, you know, the rest of the world, they're really thrilled with America subsidizing everything.
Well, KT, we've got about 3 minutes left. Conservatives lost a leader this week. America lost an icon in Rush Limbaugh. And we've heard many, many perspectives on Rush this week, but I wanted to get your reflections on Rush Limbaugh.
You know, to me, he was the first one who had the guts to stand up and say the emperor has no clothes. You know, 25 years ago, he was saying, look, this expert class, this Washington elite, the coastal elites, they're getting all this stuff wrong. They're not only the arrogant and condescending to the rest of the nation, but they get it wrong all the time. I mean, the wars in the Middle East that we could never win. We squandered trillions in money, and we squandered American lives and blood and treasure. We could have used that money at home. We could have used those American citizens back in the United States making America great again. But instead, we were building schools in Afghanistan instead of rebuilding schools in America. And Rush Limbaugh called them out on the economic issues, and he called them out on the energy issues. Now, the experts got it all wrong. And so, and when he stood up to say that, he was all by himself. Everybody else made fun of him. They said, oh, he's not so smart. He's so stupid. He's just a whatever, until the whole rest of the country, until at least half the country came around to his way of thinking. The other thing is, I mean, I used to listen to Rush like everybody did, and I would be so surprised when he would start quoting me. And he would quote not what I had said on Fox News the night before. He would quote some obscure article I had written about arms control or about energy policy. And what it showed me was that this guy was not well-staffed in the sense that he had brilliant staffers who were scouring the intellectual press to find out what was going on. He was reading this stuff himself.
and understanding it himself and understanding the complicated issues and then repeating them in a way that was accessible, not just to the experts, but to the average American. So I think bless him for his courage to stand up alone and bring the country around to his way of thinking, and God bless him for doing such a thorough job of it. He wasn't just repeating the talking points. He was creating the talking points. You know, Margaret Thatcher once said, the British Prime Minister once said, you know, first you win the argument and then you win the election. Well, you know, Rush Limbaugh was the guy who won the argument and then we won the election. So before Donald Trump, before any of the populist leaders, before Lou Dobbs, before Fox News, there was Rush Limbaugh. So God bless him. He was the greatest patriot of my generation.
K.T. McFarland, the author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. As always, K.T., thank you so much.
A pleasure and an honor. Thank you.
That's it for the Saturday Morning Update. Garden Sense follows the 8 o'clock news on WMAL.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.